Creekside with Don and Jan. Welcome to Creekside with Don and Jan. If you care to live in harmony with nature and the land, and you wish to live more peacefully with all your fellow man, if self-reliant living is a big part of your plan, if you like to talk some politics with those who really can, this is the time, this is the place, Creekside with Don and Jan. Sit right down and make some space, Creekside with Don and Jan. Let's get started right away, Creekside with Don and Jan. No more singing, no delay, Creekside with Don and Jan. Creekside with Don and Jan.
Well, howdy and welcome to another episode of Creekside with Don and Jan. Hi, I'm Don Stover.
And I'm Jan Stover, and this is episode 226 on May 28th.
Yeah, where's May gone? May's gone west. I don't know.
But I'm bum. I tell you what, usually we just banter our little tails off, but we've got a special guest here tonight on the show, and we want to just jump right in because we've made a list of all the things we can talk about. It's going to be tough to fit it in 30 minutes.
And we've made a list of the things we can't talk about.
I don't know how I follow up a Mae West reference, but we'll try our best.
You've interviewed so many people over the years.
She's not one of them.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's introduce you first.
Even before his time in interviewing, yeah. John is...
And by the way, John is John Goldsmith.
John Goldsmith, the Duke of Dudleyville. Marketing Director for the First National Bank, F&B in Vandalia, Ramsey, Patoka, Mulberry Grove, and Greenville. He's also the founder and curator of the DeMolin Museum here in Greenville and chairs the Greenville Graffiti Car Show. That's lots of hats. Prior to taking that job with F&B, John served as executive director of the Greenville Chamber of Commerce and Greenville Tourism. And prior to that, he was executive director of the National Road Association of Illinois. And for more than 20 years, he's been a familiar voice on radio station WGEL here in Greenville with Mike and John in the morning. I remember that.
Back in the day.
During his time at WGEL, he interviewed some truly amazing people, including 2 weeks ago, you heard Earl Hamner Jr., one of those interviews that he graciously allowed us to use. Welcome, John, and thank you for being here.
It is a pleasure to be here. It sounds like I've had a busy life.
You have. You've got lots of priors. As it were.
In a good way.
In a good way, yes. Yeah. Let's clarify that real quick. So anyway, we want to, we bring you back in every so often. You've been on the show before, and you're always good to come in and talk about the car show. And so I guess let's kick off on the car show. It's coming up, and then we'll touch base on some other things, too.
You know, the 6th Annual Greenville Graffiti Car Show is Saturday, June 17th, and it's hard to believe we're in our 6th year of this already. It has grown steadily every year. Last year, we had 235 or so cars and trucks. You were here. You saw mm-hmm. how packed the streets were, and so we're looking forward to another big year. We've got three very diverse guests this year at the car show. We have Tyler Dale, who was featured on the History Channel program American Restoration. We have Barry Williams, who we all grew up with as Greg mm-hmm. Brady on the Brady Bunch, and Eddie Deason, who is not a household name, but if you've seen him in a movie, you're going to recognize him. He was in both Grease and Grease 2.
He's a household face.
Right. Yeah, he was in one of my favorite movies of all time, a movie called 1941 that was made by Steven Spielberg, and he was also in War Games, and so he did a lot of things, in particular in the late 70s through about the mid-80s, and most recently he was a voice on the film Polar Express. So he's a pretty diverse career. Mm-hmm. And so those are the three folks that we have coming in for this year's car show. I suspect we're going to have a big turnout just based on the conversations I've had and the word on the street. I would expect to see a lot of ladies between the ages of about 40 and 60 here to meet Greg Brady.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And I've even seen Greg Brady doing... Greg Brady, listen to that. I've seen him doing little infomercial bits on MeTV. Have you seen those as well?
He's done a lot of things. as a child actor, even before he was on the Brady Bunch, he had a lot of shows he appeared in. Mission Impossible, Dragnet, Murder, She Wrote, Adam 12, Love Boat. I think everybody was on at least one episode of Love Boat. So although his claim to fame is the Brady Bunch, he certainly has done a lot of other things during his career. And for many years, he performed down in Branson. I believe he still lives in that area.
Yeah.
And so we're looking forward to a big day on Saturday, June 17th.
Well, and I'm thinking, too, Tyler Dale is right up our Owl Creek Gazette Reader's Alley with everything he's done with the American Restoration. So I'm looking forward to seeing if we can get him in on the podcast as well. I know when they get here, they're busy people. But if we can snag him up for a few minutes, that'd be a neat interview.
I think there's a good chance that will happen. And I've not had a chance to talk to Tyler. I've talked to his agent numerous times over the last couple of months. And she has said repeatedly he is one of the nicest, most down-to-earth people that you're going to encounter. And what we are planning on doing is having three different hour-long increments where Tyler will be at his tent signing autographs and doing a Q&A with the crowd. And that will be from 9 until 10, 11 to 12, and 1 to 2 on that day. And in the hour periods where he's not tied down to the tent, he's going to be roaming the streets, hanging out with the car guys, interacting with them. And so I think there's a good chance that you'll have a chance to visit with him a little bit while he's asleep.
We'll be set up here with the Creekside Studio
and
going.
And he's
going
to be right across the street. If, if your listeners are familiar with downtown Greenville, our celebrities are set up on the east side of the courthouse grounds facing the Owl Creek Gazette headquarters.
Well, the Owl Creek Gazette podcast headquarters.
There you go. Yes. There you go.
Because Creekside with Don and Jan is the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette. We try to work that in every episode.
Very good.
Sometimes we fail, but this time we got her. So what else can people expect to find at the car show?
Once again, we'll have the craft and vendor fair, and that is operated separately from the car show. It's done in conjunction with the car show, and Rena Jarman and Becky Blackburn, a couple of well-known Greenville residents, do that as a fundraiser for the Lima Rhodes Cancer Foundation.
Oh, cool.
They've got, I think, about 50 to 55 vendors that will be on the city parking lot behind Rex's Quick Lube, which is down on 2nd Street.
Sweet.
That's a nice attraction for the ladies who come along with the husbands and are thinking, wow, I'm going to be here all day. What am I going to do? And we've got the craft and vendor fair for them. We'll have some inflatables for kids this year, which is new. We've got some great local food vendors, both restaurants on the square, and then we've got some other organizations that will have some food stands. We'll be showing episodes of the Brady Bunch in the Bradford Community Building. If it's a nice hot day like it normally is, that's our cooling center. People can go in, relax, and watch the Brady Bunch. And we'll hope to see a lot of cars and trucks that day.
And hopefully by that time, too, they'll have some sort of activity going on here in the lodge as well.
Yeah.
And so goodness only knows what could go on here. So let's hope for something. We know the bathrooms are probably going to be open.
That's a good thing. That's a real good thing. The car show is open really to any vehicle, but if you'd like to be judged, you have to be 25 years old or older on your vehicle. So that's a 1992. Can you believe that's an antique car now, a 92?
No, it's scary.
our Geo Tracker's a 95. So
you keep it three more years, you can get it judged at the car show.
That's our goal.
There you go.
Okay.
So if you have a 92 or older car truck, you can have it judged. Otherwise, it's open for display to any vehicle. And we have plaques to the top 50 overall. We've got a subcategory of pre-49 street rods where we'll award the top 10. We have a new category, most creative rat rod. And we've got some 50th anniversary awards going to the top Camaro, top Cougar, and top Firebird. All three of those are celebrating the 50th anniversary here in 2017. And then we'll have a top overall car and some other special awards that day.
And people come from all over. I mean, they bring their cars everywhere, don't they?
The farthest we've had is a guy came up from Kentucky one year. But generally speaking, we draw from about 100 to 150-mile radius. We draw very well from the St. Louis area, up around the Carrollton area, as far north as Peoria. We don't draw quite as well from the southern part of the state. We're not really sure why. But the other three directions, we draw a lot of people with vehicles from all other corners of the area.
Well, I've had people ask me point blank if they could wait until the car show for them to bring me something to repair. Yeah. Or, you know, I do repairs by appointment for folks. Mm-hmm. And I've got one gentleman's going to pick up an old tape player that he had me fix mm-hmm. the day of the car show. So yeah. I've got to make sure all those things are ready to go.
The two things that have become, I guess, the things this show is associated with are first the celebrities. Then that separates mm-hmm. us from any other car show, I think, in the Midwest, to be honest with you. And the other thing is the quality of the vehicles that come in. We have a lot of cars that are brought in to show that are worth $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 or more. And that's a real testament to the quality of the show that we do. And we take a lot of pride in that. There are some really high-end collector's cars that are being brought in for this show.
That's incredible. I had no idea.
It is, and it builds on itself, doesn't it, every year, because the word gets out that it is a quality show, mm-hmm. and it's a true event. It's so different than a car show, like you're saying, with all the other activities. So we're excited to get our microphones out there and do our thing during the day, too.
In 6 short years, it's come from hopeful wishes to wow.
The first year, we brought in the two celebrities from the movie American Graffiti, Bo Hopkins and Candy Clark, and you're crossing your fingers and you're hoping, is this going to go over? Are people going to buy into what we're trying to do? And they did. That first year, we had 132 cars, and we were thrilled with that. Mm-hmm. And now we've added about 100 more in those first 5 years. I think for me, the real reason for doing this show is it's about reliving your youth. Mm-hmm. It's about, hey, I remember when mom and dad had that car, or my older brother had that car, or, oh, that was my first car.
Or I wanted that car.
Or I wanted that car. uh-huh. And it's also about, oh, I grew up watching the Beverly Hillbillies. I can't wait to meet Donna Douglas. Or this year I grew up watching the Brady Bunch and I get to meet Barry Williams. We give people the chance for one day to go back and be kids again. And it's amazing to see the line of folks that come in to meet the celebrities, and they're like little kids again when they mm-hmm. come through. The flip side of it is, and we tell this to people a lot, and I sincerely mean this, every year the celebrities that have come in have had such a wonderful time because it gives them a chance to be important again. And some folks that we've had, you know, they haven't been on television or they haven't been in a movie for many, many years, and they get the chance to relive those glories. And you can see that connection between the celebrity and the fan. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty special thing to see.
It is. And, you know, you were just sitting here thinking about, you mentioned that you relive the days of your youth. I remember, of all things, my dad had a 1969 Pontiac Bonneville. Mm-hmm. You know, that thing with the arrow on the front. We used it as an aiming device.
We won't ask what you were aiming at, Don.
What a car. And, you know, I'm sure that somebody's going to, you know, the Pontiac Bonneville was, you know, the family car at the time. It wasn't as sportier.
But it doesn't matter because it's your memory. Right. And that's all that really matters.
Right. Right. Yeah, I'd love to see one, you know. Yeah. And Tempest is probably what you'll see. But, gosh, there's a Bonneville. I can't wait to just look.
Well, if anybody wants to find out more about it, is there a website, Facebook, and contact
Facebook
information?
Facebook is the best way. We keep the Facebook page up to date. So mm-hmm. if you look for Greenville Graffiti Car Show on Facebook, you'll get all the latest information on what's happening with the car show. And as we're down to here the last little less than 3 weeks, we'll have a lot of information to post.
Yeah, I always check in there too. It's a great resource.
Yep, thank you.
So anyway, now we're moving from the car show into the DeMolin Museum building project. Mm-hmm. And the museum itself, if you want to give people a little bit of a background on that and then why you have a building project in the works.
Well, as you know, one of the hardest things in the world to explain is the DeMolin Museum. It's something that has to be experienced. When you talk about bucking goats and lifting and spanking machines and cameras that shoot water and a guillotine.
You get some head scratchers, don't you?
You do. And then people come in and it kind of makes sense and they have a great time. But the museum opened March 20th of 2010. Sometime later this summer, we will see our 7,000th visitor walk through the doors of that museum.
And that's nothing to sneeze at, is it?
It really isn't because we're a museum that's open on weekends or by appointment for tours. And the reason for the need for a bigger building falls under two categories. Over the 7 years that we've been open, we've continued to add artifacts, which is a miracle. We're talking things that are 100 years old or older that continue to be found and surface in different places. So we've run out of room to have all the artifacts that we'd like to put on display. The bigger problem is the number of tour groups that we're getting now. And last year we had 22 tour groups that came to visit us from throughout the St. Louis region. And we're seeing tour groups of about a half dozen people, which is a manageable number, mm-hmm. to groups of about 50 to 55 people in a group. And if you've been in our building, which mm-hmm. you have, that's squeezing some people in there. Mm-hmm. Later this summer, we have a group from Bethalto. There's supposed to be about 60 in that group. And
they have to all move at once, don't they?
They do. They need to move around and see things. And typically with the tour group, I'll lead off with about a 15-minute program. Well, we don't have enough seating in there. And so ideally what we would like to find is a big enough building that we'd have permanent seating with a small stage to do programs mm-hmm. for the tour groups and an additional display space.
And that's exciting to see something outgrow its space, isn't it? When you started that, you know, you think if we just get people interested, and now the interest has grown. In fact, the museum is featured in a lot of different magazines and publications, isn't it?
It's always a surprise to mm-hmm. find out how people find out about us. And let me backtrack just a second. There's a correlation in my mind between the Greenville Graffiti Car Show and the DeMolin Museum, and that they were both leaps of faith. Mm-hmm. It's an idea, but it's only successful if it goes over. It's only a good idea if it works. And we've been blessed that both of those things have worked very well. And the DeMolin Museum has gone above and beyond my hopes and dreams. I had a pretty good feeling that we had something special and unusual. And this is a day and age where people like to see things that are weird and unusual, and that's definitely us. Mm-hmm. We found our niche, and as you said, Jan, we've shown up in a lot of different lists, online things such as the 25 weirdest places in Illinois. There was another list that had the two, I think, most unusual places to visit in every state. And in Illinois, it was us and the Magic Bean sculpture in Chicago. That's some pretty high cotton there.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, we've got a niche. We're proud of it. We embrace the fact that we're a quirky museum. We've got things that you're not going to see anywhere else.
You had the folks from Oddities get connected up with the oddities of your museum.
Yeah, it was a good match, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I had the good fortune of meeting Mike Zone, who was on the TV show Oddities a few years ago. I was in Brooklyn, New York, speaking at a museum, and he showed up because he was a fan of the DeMolin stuff, and so we struck up a friendship, and he came out a couple years ago to the museum and visited and did a Q&A and signed some autographs, and we still keep connected through the museum Facebook page. Probably the two biggest things that have happened to us, we got a great review on the Roadside America website, and we get people off the interstate from all over because of that. And Atlas Obscura, which is another site similar to Roadside America, give us a great review. And because of those things, last year was the turnaround year. We became not a local museum. We became something very different in that the majority of our visitors last year were people from out of town and out of state. And those numbers are running about the same this year.
I'm going to make a correlation, too, when you say at the Greenville Graffiti Car Show and the DeMolin Museum, the Owl Creek Gazette even is in that same thing. We started at 12 pages with an idea to present some things that aren't in mainstream media, some things that we hold dear to our hearts and philosophies of self-reliance and do-it-yourself. And you go out there and you're selling ads and you're trying to get writers and readership, and you have an idea is what you have. So we've been able to take what we've done and grow it too. And it's kind of nice. We've seen ourselves not be just a local publication, but grow into a real regional magazine. And it's neat to see all those things having success right here in Little Greenville, because we have a bigger outreach, I think, than we realize.
Well, it takes vision, mm-hmm. and sometimes people don't see that vision. Again, it's almost like the Missouri philosophy, show me. And once they're shown, they get it. But I think it also shows that in this day and age, there's a market for things that aren't the norm. Mm-hmm. People are tired of the normal places to visit, the normal things to read or listen or view, and they're looking for some alternative things, and I think that's where we come in, and, mm-hmm. and that's the reason we've had the success.
Well, you know, we measure our success in how many magazines we're actually pulling back, and we're having trouble keeping magazines in our archives because people want them. They're disappearing from the shelves. That's
it's
cool.
It's a good problem to have.
Just like the museum needing a larger building, it's a good problem to have. So we've been looking since about last fall for another building. We've had some negotiations, and the first round of negotiations, the first site we looked at did not work out, and just basically the money wasn't there. You know, we have a pretty good idea what we think we can raise, and it has to be a reasonable amount. And we're looking at a second site now that we feel pretty good about, and if it works out, we'll let you know, and we'll need to do some fundraising, of course, and I think it'll be a good thing. We take a lot of pride in bringing visitors into this community through the museum, and it's such a thrill when they walk in the door and you ask, what brings you to Greenville? And they say, oh, well, we came to see this museum. Mm-hmm. And that's, like the car show, an opportunity to expose people to the community that otherwise may not have come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool. And I just want to get you to load some .32 caliber blanks in some of those toys over there.
We're going
to
do that one of these days. Yes, we will.
If people want to donate to the museum or learn more, how can they find that out, John?
We have a great website, demolinmuseum.org. And it has some videos. It's got a lot of pictures and information. This is the 125th anniversary of the DeMolin factory. This is also the 120th anniversary of the first band uniforms made by the factory. So a couple of big anniversaries going on this year.
Well, your work with the DeMolin Museum and your work with the Greenville Graffiti Car Show started from humble beginnings as a radio DJ. But it's also, you did some pretty amazing interviews over the years with folks that, well, last 2 weeks ago, Mother's Day weekend, we had the opportunity to rerun Earl Hamner's interview with you. And what a hoot.
It was. My radio career began my junior year of high school. And started as a DJ. Had some good times on the air as a DJ.
You were actually spinning vinyl at the time, right?
We started out with vinyl. And boy, if I got some great stories about that, I'll share another time. And from there, I moved into being the news director for a number of years. Was the program director. I was gone for about a year and a half. I worked at a radio station up at Sycamore, Illinois. Worked at Centralia for a while. And then WGEL asked me to come back. And altogether, I think I did 22 years of radio, and I some great memories, some great times. And I was very fortunate to have had the opportunity to interview celebrities from all walks of life, from actors and actresses to people behind the scenes, sports figures, just a lot of different folks. And as someone who's often been described as having an old soul, the folks that were on my target list were ones you could say were on the downside of their career, but I would have considered them legends. Mm-hmm. So people who worked in the business, say, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, because I figured now's the time to get their story. And many of those folks have since passed away. And as I mentioned to you both before we started, I've got boxes of interviews in my basement. And when you ask about the Earl Hamner Jr. interview, it was fun to go back and say, oh, I forgot I'd interviewed this person and this person and this person. But a lot of great adventures. I interviewed Tony Bennett and Roy Rogers, which was probably one of the biggest thrills. And
Tony Bennett's one of those legends that is alive and well.
Yeah.
And did he sing for you?
He did not. I interviewed him over the phone and then had a chance to meet him backstage at the Fox Theater, and that was pretty cool.
Wow.
I mentioned to you off the air, one of my favorite interviews was with the original Buddy Holly Crickets, and that was on their tour bus. Interviewed Don McLean on his tour bus. Another favorite that sticks out, I was always a big fan of the TV show Hawaii Five-O, and James MacArthur that played Danny Williams, or Dano.
Dano, yeah.
I remember sitting in a lounge in a hotel and spending about 20, 25 minutes with him doing an interview.
That is so cool.
So those were some great times. Had a chance to get to know the son of Bobby Darin very well.
Oh, wow.
And that led to a very interesting trip to California to meet him. I had a chance to meet Sandra Dee while I was there, and met Burt Reynolds in that trip, and he was not the most pleasant of people I've ever met. And again, that's another long story for another day. But yeah, those were some good times, and I look very fondly back on that.
Well, that's not the first time I heard that about Bert, but it's...
I'll tell you the quick version of that story. How I got to know Bobby Darin's son was in 1990. I did a radio documentary on the life of Bobby Darin, who had been one of my favorites. And through doing that, I got to know his son, interviewed him, and got to know some other people in Darin's circle. And after the show was done, I sent a copy out to him, and the family was very thrilled with the final product, and they invited me to come out. And so I flew out to L.A. and spent, I think, about 5 days out there and hung out with him, got to meet his mom. And one of the gentlemen I'd interviewed was Dave Gershenson was his name, and he was Darin's manager at one time. And at this time in 1990, he was Burt Reynolds' manager. And he had invited Dodd, Darin, and myself to come to the set of a show called Evening Shade. And they were taping the second episode of that show, which was a Burt Reynolds show. And it was such a surreal experience sitting in basically bleachers watching the show being taped. And all of Burt's buddies were there. Doug McClure was sitting to my left. And Rip Taylor was there. If you remember that goofy mm-hmm, character. Mm-hmm. And then after it was over with, we were invited, Dodd and I were invited to come down to the stage to meet Burt Reynolds. And he's sitting on a stool, much like the ones that we're sitting now.
Only less rickety.
Less rickety. And so Dave Gershenson brings
higher
us up.
Higher budget.
Yeah. Dave Gershenson brings us up and says, Burt, this is Dodd Darin, Bobby Darin's son, and his friend John, who's a radio guy from Illinois. And Burt Reynolds looks up and says, hi. That was it.
Oh, wow. Just a little bit more would have been nice.
Not a lot of personality, but you mm-hmm. don't forget that. It just right. I can see it as clearly in my mind as if it would happen an hour ago.
And I was a big fan of Bobby Darin's, too. And one of the songs
Simple Song of Freedom.
Simple Song of Freedom, yes. I love that. And I loved how he made his transition from almost like a Rat Pack singer to folk.
He definitely did folk. Yeah. His career covered so many bases, starting out as a rock and roller and then transitioning to the Sinatra-type swing mm-hmm. singer. He did country. He did folk. He did R&B. His last label that he recorded for was Motown. And not only did he record in all styles of music, he wrote in all styles of music as a very talented songwriter as well. And that's probably the reason he was always one of my favorites.
He died way too young.
Very, very young. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, way too young. I spoke with a gentleman yesterday after doing a repair for the guy. He says, all I listen to is classical music. And I went, isn't that a shame? There's mm-hmm. so much out there. And to hear that Bobby had done all those
that
styles.
That wide range,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Makes me want to go and look for more material.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the interview you did with Earl Hamner, too, because even though our listeners have probably heard it, I'd like your recollections of it as well.
It was a thrill. Some of the interviews I did were ones that you couldn't wait to do. It was a mm-hmm. real rush because they were people that you had a connection with, like we talked earlier with the car shows type celebrities. Mm-hmm. And as someone that watched so many episodes of The Waltons, you know, this was a pretty heavy hitter in my mind, a great writer. And that voice, I couldn't wait to hear that voice mm-hmm. while interviewing him. And I just remember it as being everything I thought it would be, a very pleasant, warm experience. And those are just probably the best memories, is that it wasn't a letdown. It was everything I thought it would be.
I had forgotten. I knew at one time that he had done several episodes, written several episodes yeah. of The Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. And whenever I heard your interview, it's like, wow, that's right, he did. So now every time I see a Twilight Zone episode on, I wait to see the credits to see who did it.
And to kind of tie things together, one of the episodes he wrote was one that James Best was in, who was a former Greenville Graffiti Car Show mm-hmm. Celebrity. And Earl had written some episodes of The Twilight Zone. We always think Rod Serling wrote all of them, but he did not. He wrote a lot, but he did not write all of them.
Yeah, and was that the one where James Best played, quote, the devil, unquote?
As I recall, it was the one where it was Anne Francis turned into a leopard. Do you remember that one?
Oh, okay,
or
yes.
Or a panther. She turned into a panther. Yeah.
Right, okay.
I'm pretty sure that was the episode.
All right.
Yep. Well, and I love how everything ties in through our conversation.
It does.
I say to Don all the time, well, that has to make sense to me, mm-hmm. and I have to have a tie-in. So you just brought us right back. So before we close, if you want to give everyone one last bit of information about the car show and how they can find out more, that would be great.
Thank you. The 6th Annual Greenville Graffiti Car Show, Saturday, June 17th, downtown Greenville, in the vicinity, since we've outgrown downtown. Our guests are Tyler Dale, Barry Williams, Eddie Deason. You can check us out at Greenville Graffiti Car Show on Facebook. DeMolin Museum, look for us online, demolinmuseum.org. And thank you for the opportunity to reminisce about the radio days. I don't have the chance to do that often, but that was fun.
We'll have you back because I got a list of people I want to know more about.
Sure thing.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Well, listen, it's been a hootin'. Thanks for joining us. It's the official podcast of the Owl Creek Gazette. Don't forget that. And what you're going to hear coming up in the very near future is some very tasteful advertisements that are going to help us to begin to afford to keep the Owl Creek Gazette on the air as Owl Creek Radio.
Well, like John was saying, the museum and the car show were growing and looking for other ways to reach out to people. We're doing the same. So
exactly.
I think it's going to be a great venue for folks to come and promote their products and services, events, and organizations.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
And happy Memorial Day, folks.
Bye-bye now.